Hello there! Welcome to Binary Jazz, the podcast about nothing. I am joined by found materials aficionado, Chris.
Chris.
Yeah, that good, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we might have to move it once this
is well-timed. It was well-timed.
Yeah, well, Chris is on the internet. You can find him in our show notes. Allison is a data injection specialist. And we are thrilled to have her because Allison brings our topics.
That's the data that is being injected. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, that's the data injection. I mean, at this point, we're just a shell of a show, correct? No?
With no data injected into the show.
Right.
Yeah.
just going wherever the wind may blow us.
Literally.
Right on. So let's have a show. And this works poorly today. This works as it always does. If you're new to the show, Chris and I do not know what the topic is. Allison does. In a short time, she'll share it with us, and we will discuss it or not for the remainder of the show. Followed by several hard-hitting, fascinating questions.
Yeah, I should see if we have any new ones submitted by listeners, actually. But continue while I do that.
Well, so our topic today is?
Drumroll.
On mute.
Our topic today is the Suzuki method.
Oh. Suzuki method.
That sounds like you actually know what that is.
There might be a chance. There's an overlap in an area that you both might dabble in. So I was like, maybe, but maybe not. So
I think I do know what this is, but before I answer it with what I think it is, I will answer it with what I wish it was.
Okay.
So Suzuki famously makes vehicles, right? Motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And also they had an automotive branch in the U.S. for quite a while. I don't know why Suzuki is no longer selling vehicles in the U.S. I like to think that is the Suzuki method, is that they came in, they made their money, they had a number they were going to get to, and said, yep, we're done. This market's not for us anymore, and walked away. So the exact opposite of like what a corporate mandate would be for a large organization like that.
I'm going to take your definition of the Suzuki method, and I'm going to apply it to soccer because that's mm-hmm. what I do with life. So Major League Soccer recently, the Los Angeles Galaxy recently acquired an international superstar, which is a thing that the Los Angeles Galaxy often do. Is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's a Swedish footballer, and he's like 36 or something. But there's a huge run up to him entering Major League Soccer because he's been, you know, a superstar for a number of years. He's been one of the top players in the world, and because the Galaxy have sort of made a habit of getting these top name players, but sort of towards the end of their career, they did it with Beckham, they did it with Steven Gerrard. No. They didn't do Steven Gerrard. They didn't do Steven Gerrard. They did. They had Landon Donovan. So they had top footballers. One of the Galaxy's early homegrown signings, from a few years ago, was Jozy Zardes. And when Jozy Zardes was selected in the draft as the first round draft pick, they asked him what he's going to bring to the Galaxy or what Galaxy fans could expect. And he said, they're going to be amazed by him. They're going to be shocked by my amazing skill or something stupid like that. So Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the run up to entering MLS was being interviewed. And he was asked the question, what do you want your legacy to be in Major League Soccer? And he says, I came, I conquered, I left. And that was it. He wants to come, kick some ass, and then take off just like the Suzuki method. So there you go.
Ah.
It's the exact opposite of what most people would plan for the business.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, fuck all you. I'm just going to be here and score some goals, and then I'm going to take off. Like, I'm not here for the long term.
This is not forever domination. This is a season. And now I will tell you what I think I know the Suzuki method to be, because I think that I was exposed to it. I think the college I went to, the Suzuki method is a way of training students in music. And I think that the approach is with stringed instruments. And I think that I don't know any more than that, but I feel like I probably should, because I saw signs a lot about it. I apparently didn't read them. Maybe I didn't see signs. No, I did see signs.
I thought you meant like omens. Like signs.
Portents.
Actual signs.
I do see a lot of those, but not often about the Suzuki method.
I don't know what.
Came, just like conquered.
Weird violin symbolism appearing. Like a raven flew overhead in the shape of a violin.
It was actually a flock of geese, and instead of like a V, they were violin shaped.
Your treehouse is in the shape of a stringed instrument, and that's just.
Oh, that was a missed opportunity, wasn't it? I have brought the ukulele up here a couple times with Tyler.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So like nature cool. And peaceful.
Yeah, as long as the trash truck's not out. So I think that the Suzuki method also probably, I feel like it has something to do with the way that you learn the standard scale, and that it's not note-based. I mean, it's note-based, obviously, it's music, but it's not like A through G, that it's do, re, mi. But I might be convoluting that with another method in my head. So, apparently I don't know as much about
Suzuki. Is this the point where I confirm or deny your suspicions?
No, I like the struggling portion, since I was so confident. Like, I do know what this is. No, I clearly have no idea what this is. I should ramble on about it some more. Chris, do you know anything about the Suzuki method? Who are musicians?
I mean,
that have applied
applying that term to music seems to make sense, but beyond that, I know nothing, Jon Snow. I would like my knee jerk assumption is Suzuki method has something to do with manufacturing, because of Suzuki automobiles. But I think that probably I think that we've probably killed that topic to death.
Yeah,
because there's one thing that thing is, and it's never that thing that we are thinking that it is.
I feel like I probably read a Wikipedia article about this at some point in my life, and I feel like the Suzuki name is not related to the Suzuki Corporation, but that might also be something I made up and not actually true.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool if it was associated with the Suzuki Corporation, well known for their market entrance and exits.
I really love the idea of like, I'm here, I'm going to eat everything at this buffet, and then I'm leaving.
I kind of want that to be the Zlatan method as opposed to the Suzuki method, though.
I feel like I would like to try and like add that to my vocabulary, you know, and just see if somebody like is actually familiar with this, or people just assume that the way I use it is actually what it is.
So to finish that story about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he big talk, whatever, and like it's easy to like blow people off, and especially players coming from other countries coming to the MLS, and then they find out that MLS is actually more competitive or more difficult to play in than they expected, and then they don't do very well their first year. So the first game that of the season, the Galaxy are down 3-0. They're down 3-0. It's like the 70th minute or something, and they bring on Zlatan, and immediately they score a goal. He didn't score the goal. He made an attempt, but he did not score a goal. But then, like 2 minutes later, he fires a shot from midfield, like 40 yards out, hits the top corner. So now it's 3-2. And then maybe 10 minutes later, he scores another goal, and then they end up winning 4-3. So then the announcer makes the obvious comment, MLS, you've been Zlatan'd. And yeah, there you go. There's your, because yeah, apparently
now,
it's not just
hype. Immediately after that, because I feel like that's kind of the peak of it, right? Like, I've conquered. Like, there's not a lot left at this point. Like, I'm out, y'all. Like, I told you what I was going to do.
And I did it. And so, and I guess it came out later. It came after the game. Before the game, when he was first meeting his new teammates for the first time, he asked them all. He went around the room. He said, "Do you believe in God?" And they're all like, "Yeah, sure." And he's like, "Good. I'm glad you believe in me." So the Zlatan effect is far more. The Zlatan method is far more interesting than the Suzuki method.
Yeah,
it's quite a bold take on the Suzuki method. It's a hell of a fork.
Also, like, I do think, like, when you become a verb, you've peaked, like.
Right?
Oh, man. Yeah, either like a good way or a bad way.
Yeah. It's not always, I guess.
Woo. Man,
the locker room talk must be so fascinating. Just like no casual banter.
I wouldn't know.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Huh.
I'm glad we could take it back to soccer.
What the official definition of this is? I am too. For you, I am.
I like
hearing you talk about soccer. It's fun.
Well, I kind of also wanted the long game of that to be like that we're just assuming that this player, we're like, yeah, but it's just like a completely made up player. We're like, yeah.
Totally.
No, you can totally Google and find that goal. It's ridiculous. Like, I watched it because I saw it live. I was watching the game. I was like, no, there's no way. Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure my dad sent me a clip of it. That's the only reason I'm not questioning these stories.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
I'm like, no, this seems right.
So, Chris, in your house then, like, soccer is obviously appointment television. Like, just Real Salt Lake, or are you, like, watching divisional opponents or whatever they're called, or I mean, how does it? How much does it dictate your TV viewing?
We used to watch a lot of non-RSL games. Now we don't so much. We definitely watch the RSL games, and we watch, like, now there's the Royals, which is the women's soccer team. So we watch those, and we would like to. I would like to watch the. We have a USL team, which is the lower division. The Real Monarchs, and they actually have, I mean, they went to the final last year, so they have a far better team than our first team currently, and I think they're still undefeated, so, like, we would like to watch more of those, but we don't actually because there's just too damn much soccer. It's a lot of soccer. So following three teams and just the three local teams is just a lot of soccer. So,
thing about soccer, though,
but definitely the Real Salt Lake and the Utah Royals are required viewing.
Much like I am a casual gamer, I'm a casual soccer watcher. So, like World Cup, I'll catch some games. And the thing I like about watching soccer,
Sochers is the
Sochers. Oh, is that right? So as a Socher, I like that the games are so short. Like, it's not like watching football, you know, where there are 27 commercial breaks, and it's, I mean, I love watching
the that. That's the thing that I've always appreciated about soccer, is that, you know, going into it, if you're going to a game or you're watching it on TV, it's going to be 2 hours, period. That's it. It's a 90-minute game. There's 15 minutes in between. There's, like, a little bit before, a little bit after, but, like, it. 2 hours and you're done, and you don't have to, like, plan your entire day around it. It's not like baseball where it could go on literally 4 days, or football where it's interspersed every 2 seconds with an advertisement. And so I've always appreciated that.
Because they wear their advertisements as
exactly.
Their jersey, so problem solved. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Multitasking. I was, the last World Cup, I was traveling in Miami with a buddy from England. We were down there for a trade show, and it was, you know, it was like qualifier. England didn't make it out of qualifying round. But so it was like, he's like, oh, we got to find a bar to stop at. And we found this cool pub And we were the only folks in the entire place at like 2:30 in the afternoon, slamming beer and yelling at a big screen TV about Sa. I really didn't know what I was yelling about. I was just there for the good time, man. I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'll watch the national team games occasionally. Not like diehard. I'll watch the women's national team occasionally when we can get it. And then like sometimes I'll go over to Aaron's parents' place, and her dad will have it on TV. So that's how I saw the Zlatan goals, is because he was watching the LA game. It was the new LA team versus the Galaxy, and so he had that game on, and so and we came in about like the 60th minute, so right before Zlatan took the field. So I got to see his entire first performance, and it was ridiculous. You know, if it's on, I'll definitely watch it. And like if we go into like a Mexican restaurant and they're playing soccer on TV, I'll definitely be poking my head over there. There's an America's Cup, basically. So the North and North Central and South America region is called CONCACAF. I don't know what it stands for. Probably something in Spanish. So that region is called CONCACAF, and that applies to both club leagues, so MLS and all of the various South and Central American leagues, as well as international. So there's a CONCACAF region for international that like you need to, you know, fight to go to the World Cup. And so there's a CONCACAF Champions League, CCL, which is currently playing right now, not right this second, obviously. That is basically all of the best teams from all of the leagues through whatever qualifying mechanisms there may be. There's like, I don't know, maybe four MLS teams. And then, you know, so however you get there, it's all the best teams, and there's a tournament, and then whoever wins that tournament gets invited to a FIFA World Club Championship Cup, which is like basically all the best teams in the world, which is a really sort of fascinating idea, because it's the same idea as, you know, the World Cup, except it's not your international team, it's your club team. Which is a really cool thing. So anyway, that's a thing, and I pay attention to that. Right, MLS has never won the CCL ever in their 20-year existence, and but the last couple years they've sent a team to the final, so that's cool. Usually it's a Mexican team. This year it's Chivas de Guadalajara and Toronto.
Finally, our team.
Yeah, your team is arguably the best in MLS right now. Of course, they lost the first leg.
Yeah, well, that's Toronto's big thing, is like
losing.
Really great, and then losing right out of the gate.
Well, I was actually surprised, because I saw highlights. I might have seen parts of the previous game that Chivas de Guadalajara played before in the semifinals, and I was actually surprised. Just taking over this game, talking about soccer. I was actually surprised because over the two-leg series, I think the first leg of the series, they just tied nothing, is nil-nil. And then the second leg, Chivas scored in like the 80th minute or something, and that was it. So like they completely shut down, I think it was the Sounders that they were playing. They just completely shut down the other team they were playing defensively, and just bunkered for the entire series, and then scored a goal at the end. And I was like, they're totally going to do that with Toronto. There's going to be no score in the first game, and the second game they're going to win 1-0, and they're going to take the CCL that way.
Yeah.
I hate to be Debbie Downer, but Allison, can you tell us what Suzuki Method is?
I can, but before I do, I want to say something about soccer.
Excellent. Okay.
If you're ever in the mood to travel, Toronto is a great place to watch the World Cup when it's happening, wherever it's happening, because you can basically travel to any neighborhood and be cheering for a team, which is really great.
That's the most fun of the World Cup, in my opinion. Right? Is like I'm a what was the casual soccer viewer?
Soccer.
You're a soccer.
Yes, casual soccer, or just a soccer. Yeah. Yes, that is the most fun for me. Is joining with someone who is cheering on their home.
Yeah. So it's like if you go to Little Italy, it's like it's fabulous, because chances are it's just fun, and people put flags all over their car. art. It's really, just the whole city kind of just gets really into it, which is bizarre for me because people weren't that into soccer when I was growing up. So,
well, I'm really interested in this. So right now, there's a bid, a joint bid between the United States, Mexico, and Canada to host the 2028 World Cup.
I don't know.
It might be because this year is in Russia. That's 2018. So 4 years. It's not the next one because that one's in
2022.
Yeah, and that one is in I can't remember. Really scary Qatar.
2026.
Really scary, and followed by Qatar. Yeah. So 2026 is the bid. And I'm really excited about that because that would actually mean that we could go to some World Cup games. So
was it 1994 the last time it was in the States?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Anyway, back to the Suzuki method.
Back to the Suzuki method.
Which I really wish had something to do with soccer at this point. Just red herring. But yeah, Gary, you're right. It has everything to do with music and learning music and stringed instruments in particular. So it's a teaching system developed by someone named Shinichi Suzuki. And it has several, I guess, tenets, but it's just basically that children look, listen, and imitate for music, similar to learning language from their parents rather than necessarily learning how to read music and all that. So it's starting your children super young, or I don't know, I consider it super young, 2 years old. And to get to the next step, they have to complete the previous step, no matter how long it takes. So it's kind of no child left behind. And also parents are really involved as well versus like a private lesson in a regular method, the parent wouldn't be around, but in these lessons, the parent is an integral part of that process.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's how I learned how to play
music. I walked by some place that was offering it and I was like, what's that mean?
That's how I learn music.
Yeah.
Look, listen, and try. I don't know. What was that? Imitate. Yeah, there you go. Imitate.
Elsie, did you do much research beyond?
I did. Other than so the guy who it's founded off of. Or that founded it, rather. Apparently there was some controversy a few years ago because he gave himself a backstory, let me say, that was called into question because he was I was friends with Einstein. And this was kind of given.
Oh.
Somebody kind of called him out on it. And they've since shown that, I don't know, at some point Einstein wrote him a letter. I don't know. Beyond that controversy, though, because I immediately was what's this? How was he discredited? And to be honest, I don't really know if that really discredits his whole method of learning just because he said he was friends with Einstein. Maybe wasn't besties with him. I don't know. it doesn't really discredit his whole learning process. But interesting.
So the requirement is to start them young, or you can start at any age? Preference is to start young.
Preference is to start young for neurological development. But apparently also, I guess it's been adapted into teaching adults the same for depending on their, background in music. Because a lot of adults, which kind of makes sense to me, gravitate more towards it because it's a little less, rigid, but I think it speaks to a certain kind of how you want to learn music, what you want to get out of it. If you don't harbor dreams of being I'm going to join an orchestra and be the first violin, you just want to learn violin, then I feel like it could be a really good environment to learn.
Yeah. So That resonates with me because I have been primarily self-taught on the keyboard, piano, whatever instrument. I took saxophone lessons in school. And I was in orchestra, I was in band. So I learned how to play saxophone the way you're supposed to, but for piano and for, I mean, I was given a, I asked and begged and demanded that I get a keyboard when I was a kid and eventually got it. And I taught myself how to play. And my dad got me some book that was like, you know, pop songs that had like, here are the chords that you play on the automatic chord thing, and here are the notes that are like the thing that the singer is singing. So it's like, and it had the, it was cool though, because it had like, it was sheet music, but it had the letter of the note in the note. And so I could, you know, read it and also associate. So that's how I sort of learned how to, you know, the keyboard and the layout and whatever. And then when I was in, and so I've always been interested in electronic music, and when I was in at university, I studied electronic music and experimental music. And as I'm studying electronic music and experimental music, I'm like, well, you know, I probably should take piano lessons. I've never had piano lessons. I should probably take piano lessons. So I took piano lessons, and I really didn't enjoy it at all. And so after one semester of piano lessons, I dropped it because it was like, I mean, like, okay, the things that I know how to do, I know how to do. The piano lessons aren't really helping me with the things that I, you know, would like thought I should know. And ultimately what I'm going to end up doing on the piano or the keyboard is probably like putting stuff into a sequencer and like, you know, making electronic arrangements anyway. So none of this stuff is really relevant to how I play music or perform music. So yeah, it doesn't matter.
I feel like I have two music minds. So, time for an interesting Gary fact. I went to college on a French horn scholarship, and was like a very regimented traditional musician. But then I also play a ton of string instruments, guitar and ukulele and mandolin and quattro and charango and probably something else I'm forgetting. But I, when I approach like string instruments, like I couldn't tell you. It would take, it's great difficult for me to tell you like what the rhythm I'm strumming with my hand is. Like it's a very felt thing. And even to the point of like chord progressions, you know, like at this point, just know there's like a minor that pops in there and it's the fingers sort of do it and it kind of happens, but I can't tell you like why or how. Yeah. So that like somehow along the way, like I started playing guitar and that was like a totally different musical experience than, you know, singing or single note versus like multi-note instruments. I mean, I can't, you know, I'm sure if I took the time to, and I wanted to learn, I could probably play piano, but it hasn't really been an interest.
I still want to practice,
you know? So
I taught myself how to play bass, and the way that I taught myself how to play bass is by listening to a lot of punk, where the bass riffs are really, really basic. And then sort of evolving into something like less than punk, like, or more than punk, I guess. So like, you know, Tool and like other like hard rock where the bass riffs are a little bit more complicated. And The Cure is great for learning bass. The Cure is fantastic for learning bass. That, I mean, Simon Gallup.
So, I'm pretty opinionated on music too, or at least music, the purpose of music, I guess. I'm pretty opinionated on it. So like, I love being involved with the kids' school and doing like different weird music stuff. We use these plastic tubes called boom whackers that are, each tube resonates at a different frequency. Yeah, Google it. I swear I'm not making this up. They're color-coded, right, for each letter on the staff. But they also resonate at different frequencies due to their length. So we've done some stuff with those. And I wrote like a little JavaScript app so that I could play the MIDI keyboard along, and it would show like on a piano on a screen the equivalent of the note and the color that was being played in the boom whacker at the same time. Hmm. It was silly and ridiculous, and we didn't sound very good, but... that wasn't the point. Like the point was like music is fun, you know, or can be fun. Music is an interesting way to access, emotions and feelings. So that was kind of the point for the kids, and that was great. And,
do they look like, and, like didgeridoos?
No, they are just,
I imagine they look
tubes,
like
hollow tubes. Like a
they're hollow
pipe.
Tubes. Okay.
PVC pipe. Yeah.
So they do look like didgeridoos.
Well, except that, except there's no, I mean, like, I don't know. I think didgeridoo, like, I think, like, a like decorated, like, wooden, Chris, like, abnormal. This looks like...
Go get a didgeridoo. Because that
right,
just
but,
makes sense.
Yeah, but these are, like, these are plastic and very industrial looking, and there's no, like, decoration on them. I mean, it's like you could go to Home Depot and buy, like, different lengths of PVC.
I love everything that's happening right now. So it's a bit more like Blue Man Group industrial, like, PVC pipe.
Yeah, only it's thinner walled, so you don't have to bang them very hard. But, yeah, I mean, and you can buy them in standard octave, or you can get, you know, sharps and flats as needed, and... Yeah, they're fun. I think they're fairly inexpensive. I don't recall, but I feel like I need to get a set for the house now, so that we can play. And I've seen them make appearances on. You know, like sometimes you see like the acapella groups doing like weird covers on YouTube. I've definitely seen them utilize boom whackers.
That
so they are a thing.
That isn't a YouTube rabbit hole I have gone down recently, but sure. Check it out.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be as popular as it was, I don't know, 8 months ago when I was spending lots of hours there. I don't know. Maybe it is, and I've just moved on.
Well, we've definitely reached the time of the show with the countdown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so we have. Yikes. So
anxiety is peaking. And,
we've barely scratched the surface of the Suzuki method as it truly stands, but I think...
Well, and there's all these, to be honest, and then I started delving in, there's all these other methods of... Basically, how to rate the potential of children and like raise them up in a musical way, which there's all these different techniques, and I had no idea.
Oh man,
so I don't know what this... technique is preferred for people, but it's nice that there are so many.
My son asked
I don't
me
like
the other day, like, who is the best? What did he ask me? Who is the best band ever?
What did
and
you
I'm like,
say?
Well, that's. I said that's an impossible question to answer. There is no answer. I said, like, there are best bands for certain moments and best songs at certain times in your life, but, like, ever? No. It's not universal. It's individual. So, what you like and what speaks to you is
what
best
you like
for you
in the
moment
that you like it, yeah. Right.
Yes. Yes. That's the crazy thing about music. I mean, art in general, obviously.
So, one thing that I wanted to say, and I'll say it very briefly since we're running out of time, I went to see Hamilton last weekend.
Nice.
And yeah, I had to miss the inaugural home opener of the Utah Royals, which I had tickets for, to see Hamilton because I had gotten the tickets for Hamilton before the season was announced, or the schedule. So we went to see, and it was literally at the same time. Anyway, so we went to see Hamilton, and speaking of music and it affecting you emotionally, like the entire first act, I felt like I was choked up. Like it was just a like I don't even really understand why it just hit me, and then like probably 75% of the second act I was literally in tears, and I was just waiting for the end of the song for the audience to clap so I could sniffle because I did not want to sniffle to interrupt the song. And there were people sniffling all around me, but like, to be sure, like yeah. I was not the only person that was bawling at that point. I don't know what it was specifically about the story or if it even had anything to do with the story. Because I know that, in many ways, like just the sounds, affect me on an emotional level, and that's one of the things that I that makes me passionate about music and about making music is because it hits me so hard that it's just yeah.
So we'll put off questions for another minute because the first time I listened to Hamilton, I kind of knew like the story going in, right, like knew what the soul music was about, and then in the second act there's that song. I guess it's not a spoiler at this point when his son dies, right? And he's unimaginable, right? And the first time I heard that song, like, I mean, I was totally
yeah, I was destroyed.
Like, I was not ready or expecting that. Especially like where that falls, like in the context of the rest of the musical. It's like, I mean, it's, and super effective in the context of his life, or at least as portrayed in the musical. Like, you know, that's a hell of a speed bump.
Yep.
Whatever. So much respect for musicians that are the ones that write the music as well as the ones that create it, bring it alive. Music is a good topic. So we have questions?
No, but now my questions have nothing to do with music.
That's okay.
Although, I need to see Hamilton even more now. Yeah. Okay, so...
It's touring.
I know. I think it's coming... I don't remember. I don't remember when it's coming to Toronto, but I have to hop on those tickets.
I have a whole thing about how to get tickets, because it was a whole to do, but we can take that off the show.
That's for another episode. Okay, so what is your favorite thing to do when it's raining?
Nothing. Unplug electronics. Yeah, because in Florida, if it's raining, it's probably lightning and thunder as well. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a go outside and play in the rain person. I'm a seasonal affective disorder, go inside and mope and be grumpy person. Maybe, that's true. Maybe like, I don't know, watch a movie and get under some blankets or something, you know, like
a game.
Something really introverted. Yeah, a game, yeah.
Blanket burrito? Yeah, I hear ya. Okay, now the challenging portion. Name three ways you can cleanse crystals.
Bleach, sandpaper, and the third one I knew was gonna, a chainsaw.
I would imagine at least one of the ways is using like a rock tumbler.
Boiling.
And there's probably some non-bleach chemical that could work, but I don't really know.
You guys aren't going woo at all with this.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, the
chainsaw.
That'd be the answer. Yeah.
Sunlight. So you want me to go woo, cleaning crystals, summoning the Dark Lord into the crystal, so that, and asking his guidance, to, purge all of the, negative, energies from the crystal.
Fire.
Brimstone. Yeah. I hear you.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I only brought two questions.
You only brought two. Okay. Okay. Well, then we need to go on about the crystal some more. No, I thought that was a serious question. I thought like you had just done it, because I know that you do crystal stuff.
I may or may not have crystals in my
possession. Yeah. So I thought that perhaps this came out of like a, I'm going to take this to the, like I'm cleaning my crystal. I thought it was like maybe like a thing that you did, you know, it's that time of the month. I need to clean my crystals.
It's true.
And by that time of the month, I meant time of the month to clean the crystals, not something else.
I just wanted to make
that clear.
There's a lunar cycle there, but it's not a lunar cycle. Yeah.
It's not that lunar cycle. It's a different lunar cycle.
I went to a woo store, or what I would term a woo store, and a friend bought a gem there, and the woman offered to cleanse it for her before we left, and I thought
that was
amazing.
So,
and what does that look like? Is that like, okay, hang on, let me get my, okay, and then we put our energies into it?
No, it was much more, it was like a little tiny barbecue. And like
a barbecue,
like, fire. And there was like a little smudging of like sage and herbs, and she put it on the little barbecue.
Okay.
It was amazing, and it almost made me wish that I was buying gems as well, so that they could go on this little barbecue.
So the gem was on the barbecue with the sage?
Yeah, so the sage is underneath, and then the smoke comes up and cleanses it, and then...
So it wasn't like burning the sage and then like putting the smoke on the gem. It was like, it's actually on the...
It's like on this little kind of grate resting above, so then the smoke just rises and takes care of it as she's ringing you through. It's a very efficient process.
We'll play
that's Laguna part. Beach for you.
Wow.
Okay. I can go with that.
Like smudging, but on demand.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There's, well, there obviously needs to be a service for that, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm, yeah.
In the gig economy, right?
Yeah.
You roll out with your little barbecue and sage on site.
I mean, you could do a big barbecue too. That's the thing. You could like...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.